Hey, I'm Rachel Peterson, marketing expert and queen of social media. The question entrepreneurs are always asking is, how do I make social media work? How do I make money with social media for my clients and for myself? We're going to break it down on this episode of Social Media Secrets. Hey guys, I am so excited to be bringing someone to you today who has been knocking everybody's socks off when it comes to Instagram. He is truly one of the experts that I look to for all things Instagram, though he would never call himself an expert. He's not one of those gurus with the cliche and everything, but I'm so excited to welcome to the show today, Carl Firth. Carl, welcome.
Hi.
Carl, you are seriously awesome. So you and I actually go way back to the days of when we were working together with Pavlok, right?
Yeah, that was like, was it like 2 or 3 years ago that now?
Yeah,
two and a half. It's crazy.
Isn't that insane? And we've been able to look back and like see our old messages and everything, and so cool. But one of the things that's really happened is you have blown up a business running Instagram for online entrepreneurs.
Yeah, like, it was only like January that I started taking it really seriously. Like when I obviously messaged you to get back into SMU, and I was like, I even debated whether to like stump up for it and join even then. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. You're the lady I need to speak to. Let's do it.
I love it. But one of the things that was really crazy. So, you know, Instagram is an interesting game because it's changing fast. Like everyone thinks that they know the latest techniques and strategies to master Instagram. The reality is it'll change as soon as you get comfortable with the old techniques. And a lot of people are still peddling kind of like black hat techniques. And I'm seeing that happen more and more, where people just are relying on what used to happen. But you've mastered techniques that can grow an Instagram with the new algorithm and in a way that's ethical, right?
Yeah. I mean, like the black hat stuff works, but you always run the risk of getting an account shut down. And a lot of the accounts that use it are faceless. So if it does get shut down or if someone calls them out on it, they're not really talking to anybody. So yeah, I avoid it just purely because I don't like it. I have used them in the past when I first started out like 4 years ago, but yeah, they're behind me now.
I'll be totally honest. I started growing my Instagram account using, like, remember when Instagress was a thing?
Yeah.
Instagress, and it worked like wonders. And then all of a sudden one day it stopped working and started backfiring because now I didn't have an engaged following on Instagram. But yeah, there've been a couple of different things that you've honed in on that work really, really well. And one of the things that you do is you're not always reposting other people's content. You actually create really attractive graphics on Instagram. Can you tell us a little bit about what that process looks like?
A lot of the, like, everybody like goes so over the top with like stressing about creating content. And then you've got apps like Canva and I think it's Fonto, an old one that I used to use for quotes and things like that. And it's so simple. Like, so many stock image websites online that you can just take images from and just repurpose. Like say you guys who do video, I don't create that much content personally, but people just need to repurpose the content that they've already put out there. A Facebook status, like, just use it, chop it up, put it on a quote and post it. It's done.
That's
so
massive gold. He says it so calmly, but the reality is that was massive gold that he just dropped. So we have content, those of us who are posting on Facebook, those of us who are writing emails. That was pretty simple. Take the content you've already written, chop it up, put it in a quote using Canva or WordSwag or Font Candy or any one of those awesome, cheap, free apps, and create amazing content, right?
Yeah, like, I'm super tight. Like, I hate paying for anything. So like everything, like, there's so many free apps out there that you don't need to download Photoshop.
Like, right.
there's like apps, I think it's VSCO and Lightroom and things like that. All you have to do is just download a preset, put it on an image, and that's how you can get a nice consistent color theme if you're doing a color theme page. That's how the big guys, the influencers, do it. They just have a set preset on Photoshop or Lightroom, apply it and post it. It's done.
That's like pretty darn easy versus reinventing the wheel every single time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when there's so much content out there. Just make sure you credit people. That's the main thing.
Huge. Absolutely huge. Now, what about this whole idea of like crediting people for posts that you're sharing versus asking them permission? What have you found to be the norm versus what people kind of just do?
It's a difficult line to tread because I can see how some people, like for some people, especially photographers, it's their business. So if you're reposting their things, I can see why somebody might get ticked off.
Yes.
Personally, a lot of the accounts that I've grown have all been repost accounts, and I've never once had anybody message me and say, what are you doing? Purely because if you credit someone, there's no real way of doing it. But the way I look at it is, if someone was using my content and reposting it for legitimate reasons, how would I want to be credited? So tag me in the photo and mention me in the comment, like, but genuinely mention me. Don't put me like 60 lines down after a load of dots. Put a clear camera emoji, even a camera emoji, and then tag the person on the first line, second line, so that when someone sees the image, they can see that it's by someone else. A lot of the time they'll come and comment and say, thanks for reposting my stuff. And that's also a good way of building a relationship with someone again, which helps you have more content for the future.
I absolutely love that. So what most people don't know is that Carl Firth has been someone who first and foremost grew his business really quickly, because you started it wasn't that long ago. It was 6 months ago, maybe, or maybe a little bit longer.
January. Like last year, like I first started out and I wanted to sell shout outs, and then I quickly realized that $10 shout outs were never going to make me any money. Like they were all right for a bit of change. and then there's the potential that my wife might lose a job. It's actually coming up in like 2 weeks' time that she'll find out whether she loses it or not. We found this out like back end of December, like over Christmas time. So it was kind of the make or break. I was like, well, I actually know some things here, and I'd been in some groups, and I was like, I probably know a bit more than some of these other people who are teaching people what to do. So it's the now or never type of thing. So it was only January, I think I messaged you. I think it might have actually been over the new year. And I was like, let's do it. And you were like, there's a dollar trial running. I think it was still, the dollar trial was still going. And I was like, for a dollar, what's like, you can't even buy a bar of chocolate for that. So, like, yeah. And I was like, I'll jump in. I'll get the training done. I've got a month's worth of a dollar. It's then only like, I think it's $39. What have I got to lose? Like the only upside is I spend that on like takeaways on like a Friday night. Like tonight I'll probably go out and get pizza and wings and like things like that. It'll cost me like $39 or whatever pound translation is.
Yes.
And I was like, there's nothing to lose. And then since then, it's just like, it's just gone up and up and up and up. It's unbelievable. Especially with the connections that I've made with the people in SMU. Like I talk to those people more than my real life actual friends that I see.
I hear that all the time. And one of the things that's been really cool. So Carl was actually nominated by all of the members of the Social Click as the member of the month for which month are we in? I'm kind of in a brain fog.
June. May. It was May. It's going to like so quickly.
Oh my gosh. I know, especially after having the baby, it's like days kind of blur together. But Carl was nominated as a member of the month for a reason, and it's because he is one of the most giving, ethical people I've ever met, especially when it comes to Instagram. And people like just want to jump inside of Carl's brain and live there. But Carl, you've been having some massive successes for your clients, haven't you? Share with us a little bit of some of those wins.
Yeah. I'm like the worst person for sharing wins because I play down everything. So like when everybody's like Win Wednesday and I'm like, have I actually got any this week? But then when I actually look into it, I've actually got quite a few. There's like one account that I'm doing and we're on track to do probably best part of 7,000 new followers this week. It's probably like 4 days, I think it is. And there's no viral content. It's purely personal branded stuff, images, quotes, that sort of things. I really play all my wins down. I'm like the worst for it.
Well, I'll break him up for you. Did you guys hear that? 7,000 new followers in 4 days. That is absolutely insane. I mean, who here, like if you're listening to this on the podcast, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel or whatever, we all want that kind of result, and especially for being a personal brand versus the viral content. One of the things that I think is really huge, and if you didn't pick up on it, is the difference between a brand that's just sharing viral content versus a brand that is personally branded. For those of us who are like, I don't really know what the difference is, what is the major difference between those two?
It's the potential for virality, really. Like the faceless viral pages, it's so much easier to push content out there that can go viral, whereas an image of me, like if I took a screenshot of this now, there's no way I'm going viral. I'd probably get like 3 likes or something. Whereas something that triggers engagement, it's so much easier, and it's so much easier to grow those accounts without much money behind them. If you've got a good network, you can push probably half like mediocre content sometimes. Like the one that I had, it reached like 2 million people, and all it was like a behind the scenes of I Am Legend, and I literally just put a little red dot on the CGI guy, and it just blew up. Like millions of people saw it, and it's like, this is so strange. It's so weird. Whereas the personal brand accounts are, well, the stuff that you put out, it's you, it's your day-to-day, it's what you do, it's your business. It's actually putting a face to a brand rather than having the faceless page. That's mainly what the difference is.
Yeah, so you reached 2 million. In case you guys didn't notice, like Carl is very, very humble, and he like said it like it was no big deal once again, right? We were all geeking out over the 7,000 followers. Oh, and Madeline says his Scottish accent is giving me that. I know, that was the same thing I thought too. Carl, share with us where you're from.
It's a little place called Barnsley. It's quite like, I'm not broad, but the people where I'm from, it's like a different language. People are so broad. It's unbelievable. It does sound like, I think I've had like 6 people recently think I'm Scottish. I'm not Scottish.
I thought so too. When we were talking, I was like, are you Scottish? And so did a few other people in the clip. But one of the things that's so crazy is that, like Carl says, we reached 2 million people as if it was like no big deal. But that's huge. I mean, some of us are working on our Instagram accounts. Like Jeannie said earlier, she's struggling to crack 1,000. It's kind of like this mysterious platform because it's so different. But people have been asking some really great questions, like how do you find the right viral content to suit your niche, or niche as I say it, and how can you slowly add in your personal brand? That's a great question.
It's hard to give like a blanket cover answer because every Instagram page and niche is different. If you're into yoga or vegan food or something else that's quite a hot topic, it's so much easier to weave that viral content into your posts, even to the point where I think Josh did it on a masterclass where you're posting viral content and then you sort of get those followers and get that traction, and then you archive it later on so that your feed's a little more personal brand. But it's not for everybody, and I don't suggest putting it out there just for the sake of putting it out there. Like when I've only more recently started taking my page a little more seriously. Just purely because I like posting nice pictures of travel destinations, like whereas before it was so ugly, but I was just testing the viral method. So don't push viral content if it doesn't fit your page. Like if everybody's used to you putting pictures of you, say if you're in fashion, like you are nice in a nice dress or something like that, don't just randomly start posting like the I Am Legend picture, because it just doesn't work. And it's such a quick way of turning off your followers. And it's the quick way for people to start following you.
Yeah, I will say I definitely experienced that when we started moving towards viral content. It was a great test. It was a fun strategy to try out. I was addicted to seeing the numbers grow. But the reality is people were like, Rachel, like we miss the pictures of you and your family. And even if those don't get as much traction, I think people really like personal brands. They like to see what's happening behind the scenes of a brand that's building and everything. Yeah. But one of the things that you shared is you have a travel page and you've grown it pretty well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been lazy with that one as well. I've been so busy that like it's like everybody's always like, oh, my page always suffers. And it, like even though people say like I'm the go-to, well, one of the go-to Instagram guys, my page was recently, it's like so neglected, like everyone's. But yeah, the travel page, it's a niche like Santorini page, and I purely set it up so that I get my friends getting married there back end of next month. So I set it up purely just to get freebies when I go out there. That's literally, it's like one of the most expensive places I've ever been to. So I was like, well, I might as well try and get some free food while I'm out there and some free accommodation.
That is so smart. Ashley asks a great question. What are your best tips for managing clients' branded content that has specific aesthetics, so they're not suitable for viral content inside that account?
Build a community. Like, personal brands are just that, they're personal. So people follow you because they want to get to know you. So the best thing to do is just dive in the comments. And I think, like Gary Vee says, like, leave 2 cents on people's posts. Just genuine engagement.
I love that.
Don't bot it. Don't spam it. None of this awesome picture, love it. Hey, just literally just go in there, leave genuine comments, and just genuinely talk to people and connect people. The engagement just feeds engagement. So if you're chatting away with someone, they're going to come back and they're going to genuinely follow you because they want to follow you. Like, it's pointless having a million followers if nobody really cares and they're just lazy to unfollow you. If they're not, they may as well unfollow you if they're not engaging with you. That's kind of the way I see it.
Interesting. I love that. I will say, one of the things that a lot of people say is, like, how can I be seen as like a big authority if I'm going in and commenting on everyone's pages? But I remember watching Gary Vaynerchuk, and he still to this day will do it. He still to this day will respond to messages, even if it's just a heart back. He still responds to almost everybody, which is pretty beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I worked, I think it was Jab, Jab, Jab. I did some promo for that. And even it's little things like coming onto your post and just commenting. And just genuinely been like, thanks for sharing it. And you know it's him. And he was like on Snapchat and things like that, messaging you back. And it's like, you can tell it's him.
Yes.
It's so weird. And it feeds it. It's like, oh my God, like Gary Vee's messaging me. And you just get absorbed in it. And it's the same with anybody. Like, he's huge, but he wasn't.
Right.
It's like he's probably the only person whose content I really consume. And he always says that one's greater than none. So you have 100 followers, somebody's only got 50. You've got twice as many as someone else. If all of these people are following you for a reason, and it's so weird to say, but small accounts generally do have a better community feel to them. Like, it's so much more engaged.
Yeah, and it makes sense because you have the time to follow up with conversations and everything. Yeah. So Jeannie asks a really good question, and it's funny because I know that you're a pretty private person. She said, do you have both a personal page and a private page? My one page is more personal, but I do sell me. So what do you recommend? Do you have a private Instagram?
Nope. Like, got my Facebook, like, that's just open. I obviously do filter the stuff out that I don't want people to see and my employers to see, obviously. But Instagram, no, it's just that one page, just me. I mainly use it to test stuff, but now people have started to see me a bit more. I've had to make it pretty. Like, I can't be known for being half decent at Instagram and like have an awful feed. So I've kind of taken that a bit more seriously. But no, it's a personal preference. It's like, yeah, I like pretty pictures, so I post pretty pictures. It's as simple as that. Like, if you want a personal page and a private one, go for it.
Love that.
Just don't go half pregnant on something. If you're going to spend time on a private page and it's going to affect the one that might be bringing in income, you've kind of got to work out where you sit on that.
Yeah.
It's like, I know nothing about like Facebook ads and things like that purely because I've just stuck to Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that's only the reason I know how I know what I know, just purely because I spend every day on it. So if you want to add another platform, you've got to work out where you sit on that line of allocating time and what is it going to bring in for the reasons that you're signing up for it. Is it going to bring in the business or the interactions? It's not for everyone. Like, everybody's like, get on Instagram. But some people, it's just not right. Like, don't get on it just for the sake of being on it.
I think that's such a good point. Okay, so one of the things that I want to make clear. So if you're watching this and you're like, I want someone who is genuine and authentic and knowledgeable to possibly run my Instagram account, I need some support. I want to grow it massively. I mean, who doesn't want to grow their Instagram account, right? Like, everybody wants a raving following on Instagram. What kind of clients are you open to working with right now?
Anybody. basically. I mean, like, It's like some. I've never had to turn someone down, but that might just be pure chance that the people that's approached me have been a good fit for Instagram. If someone approached me and I was like, it's really not like, if you're an electrician, like a local electrician, you're probably best spending your time on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Right.
Like saying, it's not for everyone. And don't just get on it for the sake of being on it.
As long as it's something that works on Instagram, you're all about it, right?
Yeah. Like, you can get results in anything. But you've got to be realistic about the growth that you're going to get. And not everyone needs 100,000 followers, and it is addictive. It is so addictive when you see you wake up and you see the numbers have jumped. It's like, oh, I just want more of that. But it's really not for everyone. And sometimes a lot of it is just a numbers game, and it's just an ego thing. And even for me, who knows it's an ego thing, like when some days I'll wake up and I'll have seen it's jumped up at 1K, and I love it. It is an addiction. But it's just knowing that not everybody needs a million followers. There's people in SMU and they've only got a couple of hundred followers, but they know what they're talking about. And it might just be that those 100 people could potentially be 50 clients for them. And they never need 10,000 followers. It's good to have 10,000 because you can swipe up, but you don't need a million. You really don't.
After 10,000, you're good, right?
Yeah. 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 Once you get to that with a K at the side of it, I'm happy. So, yeah.
We have a couple more questions. I love this one. Madeline asks, I'm stalking your Instagram right now. Do you delete your old content and why?
No, I don't delete it. Before, when I was saying it was ugly and I've only recently started to make it pretty again, I archived everything. Mainly because if someone comes back to me down the line and they say, can you do viral stuff? I've got it there that I can just look back in and check the stats and whatnot. But yeah, it's just that I've neglected it, Madeline. It's not that I'm deleting things. I've just really just haven't posted. I think there's like 30 posts on it or something. There's not many. And it is purely just because I've neglected it. I've not posted enough. I preach people to post, but it's good. Yeah, I don't post enough.
But you post a lot for your clients, and you also post on, like, for example, your Santorini page or your travel page, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I've got quite a number of pages that I use to feed other pages for the engagement groups and things like that. I've got pages of different sizes, so I'm in different groups, which helps me leverage engagement to other things. So I'm just – a lot of these, they're not mainly for growth. I get them to a point where I can leverage them to grow other things. So, yeah, that's why they're neglected. That's literally just the reason. Yeah.
Another question comes up. Do you have or suggest to use multiple interest-based accounts and drive the interest traffic to your main account? So a bunch of smaller accounts that all feed to one account. I've heard of this strategy before. Do you recommend that?
It's what works for you. You don't need, it's the same thing. You don't need 1,000 likes on your pictures. A lot of it is ego. And it's a lot of Instagram's not real life. Like, people message me all the time thinking I'm in the Maldives or Bora Bora, and I'm sat and I've actually moved it. They're like big Peppa Pig dolls, like teddies on the floor down here. I'm like, just check it out. This is someone else's image, because I properly credit people. Yeah, you don't need a million likes, but it is a good way of leveraging engagement to help you level up. That's the whole power likes thing. It's getting a lot of engagement quickly. So if you build up that network, you can push that engagement to your post, which will then open it up to more people. More people see it, more people engage. But yeah, the content's got to be good, obviously, because if it's not good, people aren't going to engage, and you're capped off. Regardless of how much money you spend on power likes or big accounts liking your stuff, if your content's not good, nobody's going to like it.
That's really good. Okay, so if you were going to leave people with one big piece of advice about Instagram, besides just hire Carl, it's pretty simple. If you want massive Instagram growth, or even not necessarily massive, Instagram growth that makes sense for your business, hire Carl. But if you have advice for other people, what would that one piece of advice be?
Engage. Just get in there and just talk to people. I've got kids. Like, it's like so unscripted. It's got back from nursery. Yeah, just engage with people. Just leave genuine comments, genuine likes, and like everybody gets on about, oh, should I follow people? Should I just, if you want to follow someone, follow them. It's like, it's real life. Although it's not, it is. You just genuinely, yeah. Like, obviously, if it's for business and you want to kind of piggyback someone else's engaged followers, then do that. But follow them because you genuinely want to follow them. Don't follow them in the hopes that they're going to follow you back, because what's the point? Just be genuine. Leave genuine comments, genuine likes, and just build that community. Not everybody needs 10,000 followers. Some people just need that one. It might just be that one client that opens the door up to 10 clients. Do a good job for one person and they're your biggest lead gen.
I love that. And in fact, most of your lead gen and most of your deals come through your Facebook Messenger, right?
Oh yeah. Like, it's my best funnel. Like, I have nothing. Like, my lead gen is so poor. It's like, it's unbelievable.
But yet people want to work with you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. Just give value to people. Give value, get results, do good work, and just be nice. Like, yeah, it works. Yeah.
I love it. It sounds like, and the questions are coming in like crazy. So my gut tells me we're just going to have to schedule an awesome masterclass with you, Carl, because people are just like, we need more of Carl. We need more Carl. We need more Carl. Where can people learn more about you, especially if they're looking to learn about Instagram or possibly hire someone to help them grow their Instagram following?
Just message me. Like, my inbox is open all the time. Like, I'm not like some Instagram guru who just doesn't message you. Like, it might take a couple of days because I get a lot, but just message me. Yeah.
Pretty easy. And he is Carl Firth on Facebook. CARLFIRTH. Pretty simple. Yeah. I kind of like it. You make it seem like it's easy. It's just be a good person, be a real person, create good content, and engage. That sounds pretty obvious.
Yeah, just don't overthink it. I mean, it's easy for me because I spend so much time on there, but just get in there and just play about with it. It's simple as that. It's not as difficult as everyone makes out. Just get in the trenches and engage.
So as you can tell, Carl is very likable. Everyone who comes into contact with him is like, we love Carl. We want more Carl, right? Carl, thank you so much for joining me. It's obvious to me why you were the member of the month for the Social Click. So awesome to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you are on the fence about jumping on into where Carl got started just back in January, we've got kids in the background. This is fun. This is real life. Go to www.smutrial.com. It's just $1 to get started. And obviously, it takes some time to grow into Carl epic proportions of skills and everything. But it is maybe time for you to learn as a social media teacher. So I'll see you later, Carl. Bye, everyone. Bye.